Hey, I just want to welcome each and every one of you here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share your word. God, I don't take that lightly. God, I just pray that my words are few and that the message that you want to be shared is shared. God, we just, again, thank you so much for first loving us. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. So, hey, I just want to recap, a little bit about what we talked about last Sunday. And I will try to stay away from the Greek words. Okay. So, last week we talked about the victory that we have in Christ. We learned that the war has been won, that Jesus was and is victorious. We also looked at three key elements that we as believers should take, from that word last week. Vindication. Christ took our place. He lived a perfect life and gave that life for our sake so that we have a way to be cleared of our sins. And because of that, we are offered a new life in Christ. One that is not the same as the old. Through his death and resurrection, we too should be buried to sin and self and find hope in the new life Christ offers us. And the last thing that point that we looked at was just hope. Hope in knowing that it's not about us, right? I don't know about you guys, but I have to say amen whenever I hear that, because I know that if it was up to me, I would mess it up. I would let myself down. I'd let others down. But my hope that I have for tomorrow doesn't rely, solely on me. It's on Christ. We find hope in knowing all things are subject to Him. They answer to Him. So this week we are going to be looking at how we are now to give this grace to others. We are to share this grace with others. We are to be stewards of God's grace, or servants. To be able to be givers of grace, we must first be receivers of it. Amen? I mean, you're not going to be able to give something unless you first receive it. And I think too many times people think that they can skip that first part and just say, hey, just because I hear about it or I know about it, I can share it. But that's not the case. We have to be receivers fully on the grace that God's given us, that gift of Jesus Christ. As we do this, we then must see the importance of living for God or serving God. I wanted to ask you guys this morning, I'm pretty sure every single one of us has been to a restaurant at one point or another, right? Have you ever had someone serve you? A waitress or a waiter? Yes, that's always a great experience, right? I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I know I enjoy going and having someone just come to my table and ask me what I want, and I can tell them, and it's not like get up yourself and get it. No, they get to go and get that. But have you guys ever had a bad experience at a restaurant where that server was maybe not the person you thought he was or she was going to be? Well, I remember one year, and this is years ago, Faith wasn't even born yet. It was Allie and Hannah and I. I could not remember where Heather was, but I decided I'm going to take the girls out to eat, and we went to the Applebee's down in Warrensburg. Okay, so we were down there, and we sat down, and we decided, what we're going to order and stuff like that. And we had this waiter. His name was Joe. Joe, I think, had been working there for approximately 36 seconds before he took our order, I think. Because Joe, he not only messed up our drink orders, he forgot to bring them out. So then we were patient. I'm like, hey, the kids are okay. But I mean, Hannah was young. I mean, Hannah was like 7, 8 years old, something like that. So, when you have little kids and you're at a restaurant, I mean, you have all the time in the world, right? Right, Brian? Yeah, I mean, they're so good, they just said, no, you want to get in and out, you want to get your stuff, you want them to have food. So we decide, okay, we're just going to deal with it, we're going to order our food. So we knew what we wanted because we had been there before. And so we just went ahead, hey, Joe, don't worry about it, here you go, this is what we want. And man, 20 minutes went by and nothing. And like, we just ordered appetizers. Sampler, which is a big sampler, but 30 minutes goes by and still nothing. 45 minutes and we're still sitting there. And Joe happens to walk by and I could see on his face as he made eye contact with me, it wasn't good. Well, Joe had done one thing that you would think would be pretty easy to remember, and that was placing our order. Joe had forgotten. Okay. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when you sit down to eat at a restaurant, that is not what you want in your server, right? No, you want them to be able to, first and foremost, they put you first, right? They want to serve you. And the fact is I don't know if it was his first day. I don't know if Joe, was sleeping during training. I don't know if he was just having a bad day. You guys ever have just a bad day? You know, one of those where things are off? You know, I don't know what it was. And, you know, I would love to say that I have like a second part to this story and I went back and Joe was the best. But I never seen Joe after that day. You know, that was, and I know for the longest time when we'd go somewhere, Han would always say, man, I hope we don't get Joe. And I just remember her saying that. And, you know, I'd never seen him again. And, you know, I wanted to illustrate this because, you know what? Sometimes, like Joe, we're gonna have our good days and our bad days as we serve others, as we go out into this world and we try to share that grace that God has blessed us with. You know, if you're here this morning as a born-again believer, you need to grasp something very important as you prepare to share the hope that you have. I read something this week that talked about two types of grace. First one being grace of God to unbelievers, God reaching out to the lost. And the other was grace of God as evident in the believer. God's grace shown through us living for Him. Not because we have to, but because we want to. We get to. You know, that's definitely a blessing to be able to take part in His kingdom while being here. Amen? And you know, we look at that and we think, okay, that grace that God shares is just that. It's something when He comes to someone who doesn't know Him and He gives it to him. But the fact is for so many people, we are a reflection of that grace, right? Now, it's not something that we get to pick and choose when we're reflecting, correct? It's always. You know, and that's the hardest part. I could never be a server. Because as a server at a restaurant, you might have 15 families that you're taking care of. But each one of those families are only thinking about how many other families? None. They're thinking about themselves. And so, you know, as I read this, it's like, you know what? People are. Even though I know that I'm going to mess up, I know that I'm going to let them down, the fact is that it is important that the evidence of myself as a believer is reflected through how I talk, how I walk, how I act. We have no problem, you know, accepting this first one. But the second one is far too overlooked. You know, maybe Christians are like Joe, you know, my server. We're just new. We're new to it. We don't know exactly what that means. Maybe we're unprepared. Maybe we come to church on Sunday morning and we sleep through the training. I don't know. I hope not. I don't see anybody asleep right now anyway. But maybe we weren't trained at all. Or maybe we're just, you know, having a bad day. But the fact is that these are all things that we need to recognize and can't become just things, crutches that we rely on, that we use as excuses. As believers, as a church, I believe we must do a better job at making sure God's grace is evident through us. We're going to look at four things this morning that are vital to believers to be good stewards of God's grace. All right, the first one, we're going to be in 1 Peter 4. We're actually going to be 1 Peter 4, 1 through 6, but we're going to start with 4:1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. I'm going to go ahead and go on and read through 6. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but living according to God in regard to the spirit. We started off, you know, in 1 Peter 4:1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. The first thing that we need to grasp and understand if we're going to serve or to share this grace with others is we as believers must surrender. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh at the beginning of that verse, what did we just learn last week? How did Christ suffer in the flesh? Where did he suffer at? On the cross. You know, I want you to know that that wasn't something that it's like, okay, well, it's Jesus, so he went to his happy place and didn't feel anything. He came, lived a perfect life on this earth, and he suffered. He felt every lashing, every beating, every amount of ridicule. He did that for you and for me. It goes on to say, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. Do you think Jesus was thinking about his will and what he wanted first? No, he was thinking of God the Father. Amen? We have to have that same way of thinking. We have to be willing to put God first. But you know what? Christ was even willing to die for that cause. He was not only willing to suffer just a little bit, because unfortunately, you know, as believers sometimes, we're willing to go so far, right? As long as it's not uncomfortable. Amen? We go as far as we want to. And the fact is we're called to go way beyond that. We're called to go somewhere that we can't even imagine. And that's exactly what Christ was willing to do for you. He was willing to suffer and for the first time ever feel and know what it meant to be separated from his Father. He suffered for God's will, not his own. You know, Peter is pointing back to the fact that Christ just endured the greatest suffering on the cross under God's judgment. The righteous for the unrighteous. But we know the cross is what? The greatest victory. Amen? When I look at the cross, that's the only thing that gives me hope. Because I know that I couldn't live 100 lives and make a single one of them perfect. But him who knew no sin came and gave that life for you and for me. So at the time, you know, as the believers were following and seeing what was going on to their Savior, it had to be just a horrible experience, right? They weren't sitting there going, okay, well, he's going to die and he's going to come back in 3 days and it's all going to be good. The war's done. You know, we're going to win this. This is going to have victory in this. They're looking at something that was created to kill, to torture. And that's what instrument their Christ was being put on. You know, in that moment, it was the ugliest moment in history. And like that, sometimes we find ourselves in moments where we don't see any plus to it. Anything good coming from it. Have you guys ever found yourself in that position? Where you're in that moment and it's like no matter how you look at it, no matter how you flip it, there's nothing good coming from that. I believe 100% that that was this moment. But yet, it was his greatest, it was God's greatest victory. Proof that sometimes suffering can lead to great victories over evil. You know, I don't know what you're going through, what you're dealing with. But know that God is there with you. Now, I'm not saying he has a perfect thing planned out for you tomorrow that you want and that you picture. But he is there with you. And the second thing where I'd like to point out, and this is found in the scriptures, 1 Peter 4, 2 and 3, is holy living. And I think as long as our living is good on social media, we're good to go. But in 1 Peter 4, 2 and 3, it says, as a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. The life we live as believers is a reflection, like I said earlier, to others of God and the gift of his grace that he offers us and others. We look at 4:2. So as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. I want to look also at Romans 6, 1 through 14 here. I'm going to look at these words that Paul writes, where it talks about us being dead to sin, but alive in Christ. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. We have died to sin. We died with Jesus on the cross. We died to sin and are alive in Christ. You know, I think sometimes we come to that point where we accept that grace and we think it's like almost like a little check mark that we check, right? You know, we just check that off and then we're good to go and nothing really is going to change. But the fact is Paul goes, and I love how he starts this. You know, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Do we just continue to do our own thing and what we want to do because we have God's grace? That's not how it works, is it? You know, we don't just do the same thing and then come and ask for forgiveness. So as to live for the rest of your time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but the will of God. Verse 3, for the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in passion, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. We shouldn't reflect on things in our past as to bring honor to that way of thinking, like we miss it and long for it. You know, there's times where I've been to youth events and they have these times where students will acknowledge things that they struggle with. And that's okay, right? To acknowledge that and to seek help. That's one thing. But to bring honor to that sin and to enjoy it or look at it as something that you miss, there's something wrong with that, right? We should desire something more. And that's what it's saying. We should no longer desire that, in which we should long and desire more, in which we do as we mature in understanding of God the Father and God the Son. As we open up His Word and we learn what He has for us. No longer do we find pleasures in worldly things, is what it's saying. You know, earlier I started with 2 Corinthians in our call to worship. And there's one verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. I don't know about you guys, but when I hear the word new, that's totally different, right? Yes? I mean, I think it's like, man, you're talking about and you're sharing these things. I've heard this before. I have too. I didn't come and say I was going to share something that you guys have never heard before. But I think so many times we hear that and we get it here and we understand it up here, but we never fully accept it and realize that this is for us. This is something that we choose to live, that we do. You are a new creation. The third thing that I wanted to look at this morning is something that we have been talking a lot about, not only myself, but Pastor Devin, and that is suffering. How many of you guys have learned something about what it means to suffer for Christ that you didn't know within the last month. You've picked up, I mean, to me, suffer for Christ, that's like, you know, before it was like, suffering, well, you know, Chick-fil-A's only, you know, I only get Chick-fil-A 3 times a week. That's suffering. No, actually, I don't even like that place that much. So I know, don't throw anything at me. But, you know, that's not the suffering that we've learned. Suffering is something that what? Is it something that God doesn't want for you? Or is that something you're going to do as you live this new life, as you seek God's will? You're going to, it says. And just like that, you know, as to be a good servant of God's grace, you're going to suffer. Okay? You're going to have those moments that because you are reflecting and trying and doing God's will, people are not going to get it. They're not going to understand you. You're going to look completely crazy to them. 1 Peter 4:4, with respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery and they malign you. As we live according to God, we will be marked outcast. We will be slandered because we are now in this world, but not of it. Amen? We are called to be different. If you just fit in, honestly, there's something wrong with that. If we just go along with the group because we don't know what they might say to us, there's something wrong with that. His word is saying they will be surprised because you don't do what you used to do. 1 Peter 4:5, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. What's it say? Who's that talking about? Is that talking about Gary? He should be ready to judge? No? Is that insert your name? No. That's not what it's saying. It's not saying that it's our job to judge others, right? It says there's one that's righteous and capable of doing that. And that's Jesus. Amen? So here it is, but they will give an account to him. So they will answer to him. They don't answer to you. We should offer, but in this, we should suffer in the fact that our hearts should break for our friends, for those that we know in this world that don't know of and have yet to taste the grace that God gives them. Your heart should long to share that with them. Your heart should not long for you to share a new meme that puts what they're doing down. Okay, if those of you that don't know, that's like a picture with some words on it, and basically it's like telling someone what they're doing is wrong. Yes, that might not be something. We usually point that out only if we don't struggle with the same thing, right? That is not what this verse is saying. It's not saying it's your job to judge the actions and where a person's heart is. God has that. What it is saying, your heart should go out to others in your community, others that you work with, even if they don't help you. Okay, even if they don't do their job correctly. Okay, maybe they slip through training. All right? Maybe they sleep through half the day at work. Well, obviously you need to talk to them about that. But you should look at others and not just based off their actions, but the fact that they are lacking that grace. Because what did we do to earn that grace? Nothing. So that same grace that was given to you is also available to them. God will judge in the end. Let him handle that. Your heart should long so that others will know what it means to be filled with God's grace. Amen? You know, because of that, because of the willingness to surrender, the willingness to live a holy life. Now, granted, are, when I say holy living or holy life, are we going to be perfect? No. Okay? We're not. But each and every time that we do fail, we get back up. We apologize to an individual if we've let them down, right? That's okay to say. Not just to the surrender, the holy living, or to suffer, but without those three things, we'll never achieve, because that's the fourth thing that we need to, as servers of God's grace, we have to realize that we will achieve only in Him and through His strength. 1 Peter 4:6. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who are dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. His spirit dwells within us as we live for Him. We achieve only through Him. When we seek His will, our hearts, our desires change to that which He has for us. You know, I don't know about you guys, but one of my biggest struggles is trying to figure things out myself. Trying to come up with answers that not only fit where I'm at that day, but that make sense to me. I have an idea of what I want to achieve each day, what I want to get done. And if it doesn't go that way, you know, I blame myself. Well, we learned last week that the achievements, the things, the victory that we have in Christ is not based off of our hard work, is it? It's not based off of our actions. It's not based off of us at all. The same thing. We don't achieve what God wants us to without God. So this week I want you to look at how you surrender to the Lord each and every day. What does that look like? What do others see in you? We talked about in youth not long ago about that, and I even mentioned it last week about the fragrant offering, you know, that we're supposed to make for God, right? And that an offering is something that, you know, it's all the time. No matter if you choose to live for God or not, the fact is you're reflecting something every moment of your life. Amen? How are you reflecting the grace that was freely given to you, to others? What does it mean to suffer for Christ on a daily, on a weekly, on a monthly basis? You know what? Those moments where people at your work put you down or say things, I know it's hard to accept, or maybe not even being accepted at school, young people. You know, either I heard a thing about a person on a, been trying out, you know, this is the time of year to be trying out for sports teams, right, at school. Okay. You know, I was always told, you know, hey, you didn't make the team because you're not good. I heard one of the things that was given to this young person, they were told that they would be able to maybe have the opportunity to play some varsity, but especially if they tried a little bit harder to fit in better with the other kids. Not, hey, your skills at this sport are not good enough, so you need to work on this part of your skill. No, it wasn't that. It was, you need to just fit in with the other kids. Well, those other kids, I'm very, very thankful that this person does not fit in with the other kids. You know what I'm saying? It warms my heart in knowing that they see a difference in this person. That they look at this person and say, hey, there's something different about you than you. But in a worldview, all we want to see is, we want you to do this, you know, be able to play this sport or do this and achieve this. But those achievements are short-lived, right? You know, if all we have is playing a sport, there's going to be a point where that comes to an end, right? And then we're going to be that guy that's, you know, 40-something years old talking about throwing him over the mountains, you know, whenever he's back in high school and living in the glory days. But I heard this, and it warmed my heart that this person, this young person, was living differently and was set apart. Now, this person's suffering, and they don't understand why that is. But I know God has something so much bigger than what this person sees. And because of their willingness to suffer, because of their willingness to live that holy lifestyle and surrender that life of theirs to God, I know that they're going to achieve some great things. And that's the next thing. You know, they're going to achieve what God would have for them. You know, as you look at these, is there one missing? You know, it's not about being perfect. We won't, but we must be aware and strive for understanding in each of these areas. As you realize which you need help on, seek God, for He is there with you. But also realize that, you know what? It's not by an accident. It's not by coincidence that we're here together in this family of God. Amen? I believe there are people that have struggled. There are people that are in this room that have been where you're at. Again, it's not just about sharing the past and reminiscing and honoring that sin. No, it's about sharing it with a brother or sister in Christ who also feels and has suffered through that, but has also been shown how to move beyond that. I would encourage you, you know, to get plugged in elsewhere within the church. We have a great Sunday school program. If you're not in one of those classes, I'd encourage you, hey, start there. As you realize where you need that work, just seek God. Also look to share the grace with someone freely as it was given to you this week. That's my challenge to you, is to go from here and speak to one person at least this week. At least one. You don't have to go in and be like, hey, I've memorized the book of, you know, Ezekiel, and I'd like to share this with you over coffee. No, they're probably going to last about 2 seconds and then be gone. But the fact is that Christ loves them. And your heart should long for them to know of that grace. Take the opportunity to share that with someone this week. You know, it's always a pleasure to bring God's word to you guys. I sometimes, as always, you know, you get nervous. You get, overthinking it. But the fact is I know that God's Spirit is within me. So even in those times where I'm scared, where I'm nervous, I know that God's got that. So I'd encourage you guys to seek someone this week to share that hope that you have in Christ. I'd like to pray. Dear Father, we thank you so much for first loving us. Lord, I am thankful for the gift that you give us of life, new life, and the hope that only comes in from you. Lord, I know that we're not going to live a perfect life, and that's not what this is about. God, we need to strive to love people where they're at and long for them to know you. God, as we go here this week, my prayer is that we make contact with someone new this week, or someone that we have known but have yet to talk to of the hope that we have in you. I ask all this in your precious name. Amen.